You have your Bibles. We'll turn with me this morning to the book of Proverbs, the 14th division. Amen. And if you don't want to stop there, you can turn to the 16th division. And the 14th and the 12th verse of the 16th and the 21st verse, 25th verse says exactly the same thing. Amen. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, or 16, verse 25 simply says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. God, you'd reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Move on us, Father, with your love, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look at him, say, hey, I want God's way. See, I believe one of the dangers of the Christian world today is that we end up living a life that is a life that is outside the counsel and the confines of the Lord Jesus Christ. With this being mentioned in the scripture twice, both times by Solomon, then I think we ought to look at what he's saying, because Solomon was not only the richest man to ever live on this world, he was the wisest man to ever live. And he thought it was important enough to mention twice that, hey, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. I remember preachers used to preach this in the past, and well, they get up there and talk about all them people out in the world that's going to die and go to hell, and how they got the straight way and the narrow way and the broad way, and boy, they'd wear it out. Now, some of y'all look at me like, we don't have that kind of preaching anymore. He said, you will if you stay around here. That's the only way I know how to preach. I'm sorry, but I've not been to a psychological class to teach how to make you feel good. I'm going to come preach this book, and if this book's not going to make you feel good, ain't nothing going to help you no way. Hello? Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 said, any in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find their way in. Amen. Our preachers used to preach, boy, them prostitutes, them drug addicts on that broad way. I want to tell you something, church. People that are drug addicts, prostitutes, and lost and away from God ain't going to be going through either gate. I ought to get a bigger amen than that. They got to repent. They're going to go through the gate. They're already lost. They're not trying to get to heaven. I believe the broad gate is made up of those people who have decided to follow ritualistic religion and let man tell them what to believe instead of thus saith the word of God. And they're trying to figure out a way to get to God in their own light, when the Bible said there's only one way, one truth, one life, and that is Jesus Christ, the blood of Calvary, and the Savior thereof. Could you say amen? Somebody said, now, preacher, you need to watch what you're doing. I understand that. I've been told that many times. This week, I've been told so much about what I ought not do that I finally prayed through and decided I'm going to do it. If you like it, okay. If you don't, find somebody else. Glory. Beware of false prophets. This is what the Bible said. Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves. I said, what are you talking about? These guys that are up here preaching what you want to hear. Let's face it, church, I'm not talking about other denominations. I'm talking about Church of God preachers who won't preach on salvation because they're afraid they can't explain it. Well, why are they even bothering? Why have church if we can't hold on to this book? I mean, if this book ain't right, let's have a weenie roast with them and just burn the things that go to the house. But if it is right, let's get a hold of it and say, wait a minute, this is my way. This is my roadmap. This is how I make it. And I'm falling in line with it because this is what I need more than anything else. Glory. We need to understand the only way to eternal life is through Jesus. And the Bible said, narrow is the way. I believe that's the remnant of those that are blood-bought, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on their way to heaven. Somebody said, wait a minute, preacher. You talking Church of God now? No, I'm not. I'm talking about the remnant church. There are people from every tongue, every denomination, every country that have been saved, that have really got a relationship with God. And let me tell you something. In case y'all want to think I'm knocking somebody, the first Pentecostals in the Church of God were Baptists and Methodists. Hello? I know a Catholic priest filled with the Holy Ghost. I preached a revival for him. Dolphin Island. He'd been down to Pensacola. Y'all remember the revival of Pensacola? Lasted about 2.5 years. He went over there and he come back, man. He got filled with the Spirit. He was over there trying to have church. Called me and says, "Hey, we got a group of folks. Can you come preach for us?" I went down, preached 3 nights in the fellowship hall of that Catholic church. Every night we'd have to peel him up off the floor, take him to the parsonage. He'd be sitting there, "Let's go another night." I said, "I got to be somewhere else." He said, "Hurry up and come back, because if they move me on this island, you toast." Glory. But notice this. He said, Broadway. I believe it's the modern church who's trying to get thought patterns through, and they're not worried about what the Word of God says. Amen. Just this past week, I was watching a documentary, and a young lady made the statement, "Well, it said Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary." That had to be a misquotation. Why? Because it's impossible. I understand that. With man, it's impossible. Hello? The Word of God even tells us, even in that instance, "For with God all things are possible." Glory. Mary looks at the angel and said, "Lord, how can this be? Virgins can't have children." And all of a sudden God speaks to her through the angel and says, "Hey, no word which cometh from God is void of power." Amen. Come on, church. You say, "Wait a minute, preacher, that's not my Bible." It is the original text. But if you want to surmise it, it just says nothing is impossible with God, which means the God that runs the natural can change those laws to fit his way anytime he wants to. He's the one that set them in order. He's got control of them. And church, listen, when God speaks, he don't have to have permission from the 420 elders. He don't have to have permission from somebody else. All he's got to do is say, "This is how it goes, and that's the way it is." Could you say amen? You say, "Well, wait a minute, God can change everything." No, my Bible said in him there is no invariableness. Either the shadow of turning. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that same God that was still there is the same God on the throne today. And he's holding out his hand saying, "Follow me and I'll give you life and I'll give it to you everlasting." Could you say amen? Amen. Listen, church. I've got no more use today for a Hindu cow or a Shinto shrine as I do religious theocracy. Some of y'all ain't never studied religion, have you? If I was Hindu, the cows would be imported. Do you know that there are people starving in India when they got more food than they could ever eat, but they're feeding them cows? Because they're imported. It could be Aunt Bessie. Hello? Aunt Bessie would be providing for my family. Hello? Come on, church. We live in a world that's eat up with religious theology. I mean, we got people believing in incarnation. They believe he's going to come back. I'm not coming back. Even if I believed in it, I'd forget it. I don't want to come back to this world. I've had enough in the 58 years I spent in this world. I don't want to come back as anything else. Come on, church. This guy was talking to me on an airplane one time, reincarnation. He said, "Well, yeah, it's just a recycle of souls. Somebody dies, somebody's born." I said, "Well, explain to me how we've increased the population of the world 3 times greater than it was 20 years ago, but we're just using the same souls. I mean, we can never grow a population. We're just recycling everybody. Because let's face it, some people believe you come back as animals. What are we getting them other people?" Smile, church. See, some of y'all sitting there say, "Well, wait a minute, I almost believe in that." Well, look how dumb it is. Come on, church. Oh, that's good stuff. Somebody said, "Well, wait a minute, you shouldn't call them dumb." Why? They believe anything other than this word. The Bible tells me that they are ignorant. Oh, it's going to get quiet, ain't it? But see, church, I'll be honest with you. I'm tired of people that want to throw away the blood. I like that song they just sung a while ago. But we got churches that won't talk about the blood. Oh, they talk that as slaughterhouse religion. You don't need that. But my Bible said without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Without the blood of Calvary, none of us has an opportunity to the Word of God to come real in our life. Oh, but now we don't believe in this. Yes, we do. Well, what about healing? We don't see it anymore. That doesn't mean it's not real. That doesn't mean it don't happen. It just means we need to get back to that place where God can begin to move in our lives again and touch us with his glory. We got to get back to that place we believe in a God that'll do the kind of things the Bible said he can do. He hasn't changed. We changed. We decided we had to make it easier to get to heaven, and we decided to figure out a way to do it. And so by doing so, we gave up everything God's promised us in his word. Ooh. I know I'm not supposed to preach like this. You know, somebody told me this week I need to remember who paid me. Thank you for that. You don't know how great I believe that, because the minute you said that, I got worried, started thinking, oh, God, these people are mad at me. I'm going to lose the whole church. I'm going to go broke. And suddenly the Lord slapped me and said, for 35 years I fed you and you weren't working at that church. So you know what you just did? You shook me up, made me realize where I came from. I didn't get here from some theological seminary. I got here on my knees being moved on by the Holy Ghost, and I'm not backing up anymore. We've come so far down now, we got back rooms for people to shout in. In case you get excited, you run back there because you might embarrass Mr. Big Bucks and he'll quit coming to church. I got news for you. Mr. Big Bucks can leave. Glory. Well, wait a minute, preacher. If he leaves, what you going to do for money? Same thing I was doing for money when I didn't have Mr. Big Bucks. Glory. Come on, church. I don't know if y'all figured it out yet or not, but I'm certifiable. Sometimes I lose my bearings, but when I realize who I work for, I quit worrying anymore. Because let's face it, I spent 35 years as an evangelist, and I put two kids through college and paid my bills, and that same God is the one I'm serving right now. Amen. Come on, church. So I said, well, you're not going to pay the bills this church. You'd be surprised what God can do. Told Kevin Wallace he couldn't build a church and pay for it, and God sent some guy along, didn't even go to his church, gave him $4 million. Hello? And so that ain't going to happen here. Won't long as you believe it, but I'm believing something's going to happen, and I believe some way, somehow, God's going to do what he sent me here to do. Come on, church. I'm not getting off my sermon. I got to get back up here. Because I can't preach past 12 o'clock anymore either. Hold your breath. I don't know about it, but my watch just don't stop at 12. Glory. Glory. Listen, 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. See, church, the devil wants to spoil us. He wants to mess us up. Listen to what Colossians tells us. In the 18th verse, 2nd chapter, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of the angels, intruding into those things which hath not seen, vanity puffed up by the fleshly mind. In other words, they're working on what they think instead of on what thus saith the word of God. Now let me show you how that works. Well, preacher, this is what I believe. You know what? It don't matter what you believe. If you believe different from the word, your believer's messed up. Well, I just don't believe the word's the word of God. Well, you ain't going to make it for sure then. Why is it getting quiet? I got some folks just doodling and doing everything else instead of paying attention to the truth. I think it's time we get back to this book and we understand this is what's going to get us there. Internet's not going to get me to eternity if it tells me something opposite from this right here. And I can gain all the knowledge in the world, but if I don't come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to make it. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. Listen, also Satan has sown a little leaven into the doctrine. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, listen what he tells us. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Hello? What's he saying? Well, I'm following this guy over here because he's educated. Nothing wrong with education. I've had some. It helped me a bunch. Learned me how to talk and got my grammar down. Glory. But when we get so smart, we know more than the word of God, we've messed up. And let me show you something, church. Every denomination has run into this problem. They've gotten educated, suddenly realized, wait a minute, if we're going to grow a church, we've got to forget what got us here and go find out what these other people are doing to grow churches. And they turn around and look, and they go find a denomination that's falling apart and get them to tell us how to do it. A Church of God 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, was the fastest growing denomination in the world. Then we had to go find somebody in another denomination to teach us how to grow churches. I'm sorry, we don't need somebody to teach us how to grow a church. It's in the book. If my people are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face, he said, then if they turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear in heaven and I'll heal their land. Satan, though, has sown a little leaven into the doctrine. Somebody said, what's wrong with that? Exodus chapter 12, verse 15, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even shall ye eat unleavened bread, even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your house. You know, the writer of Galatians said this, a little leaven, leaven the whole lump. Jesus gives a parable in Matthew chapter 13. Another parable spake he unto them, the 33rd verse, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a woman who took and hid 3 measures of meal, the whole, till the whole was leavened. She hid leaven with her meal until the leaven took over the meal. Church, the funny thing about leaven, it's kind of like gluten. You don't know what it is, they just tell you you don't need it. Hello? Can anybody here tell me what gluten is? I know one thing it is, it's good flavor, because anything got gluten tastes good. That stuff that ain't got gluten, it ain't no good. Glory. But leaven doesn't smell. It looks the same. You mix it in, you can't tell it's there. But it begins to destroy the working of what's there. And God says you don't need it, that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. You say, what are you getting at? We have a vivid picture of Christianity today. We've become victims of the mentality where we speak now and guilty doesn't seem to work. And we're trying to say, oh, it's okay. I'm not going to be guilty of nothing because, you see, I've been born again, so I'm not held accountable for nothing. Yes, you are. You're still held accountable to living right. Come on, church. The man of Salvation Army made the statement, we're going to have a lot of people that will come to church, but they won't actually get converted. That's where we are. We got people coming to church that never make a commitment to change their life and live for God. They're just in church going, I'm in church. I'm a member of the church. Oh, hallelujah. Well, everybody in church ain't going to heaven. Listen to these statistics. 10% of church members cannot even be found, much less to attend church. 20% of church members never attend church. 25% admit that they never pray. 30% admit that they do not read their Bible. Probably even more than that. 40% admit that they never contribute to the church with tithes or offerings. 60% said they never give to missions. 70% said they never assume responsibility within the church. 85% never invite anybody to church. 95% never want anyone to Christ. But 100% believes they're going to go to heaven. Hello? Come on, church. These are statistics from somebody. Listen, we may be getting just fine the way we are, but we got to remember that just because we feel no conviction does not mean the Lord is not going to take action. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 50, verse 21. It's going to tell you exactly what I just said. These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear ye in pieces and there be none to deliver. Church, we're living in a world where we got false prophets preaching junk in our pulpits and people going, I'm going over there because he's telling me what I want to hear. That's what the Bible said was going to happen in the last days. People would heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, healing only those things they want to hear. But church, if we only hear what we want to hear, we'll never hear the truth that's going to make us free. I would rather stand next to a prostitute and hold hands with her than to stand by a false prophet and try to talk to him about God. Oh, I got somebody's attention now. Oh, my Lord, preacher, because a prostitute might listen and get saved. That false prophet's going to argue with me with everything because he don't want to give up what he believes. And the truth of the matter is, so many of them believe things because of the wrong reasons. I had one man told me he believed once saved, always saved because his mama died and wasn't in church. If he didn't believe that, then she went to hell. Well, isn't that wonderful? I'm going to preach a doctrine to take people to hell simply because I don't want some of my kin folks who's already gone to go. Church, once you die, you're not going to change what happened to those people. Once they're gone, you can't bring them back and do something for them. They're gone. And to preach a doctrine that's not biblical just because you got to make it look good for them is not helping anybody, including yourself. Come on, church. Somebody better amen that. I see somebody right now looking. This is one of the doctrines we need to look at. If once you're saved, you're always saved, why bother to go back to church? You can't go to hell. Huh? I used to go to one of them churches, and the guy used to chase me around and ask me one day, I said, wait a minute, if I'm saved, why do I need to come back? He said, well, if you're really saved, you'll want to go to church. I said, really? I said, then why don't I want to go to church? He said, I got saved. He said, you don't want to go to church? I said, no, I don't want to go to church. He said, well, I don't understand that. I said, well, I'm sorry, but I don't want to go to church, especially yours. Hello? A few years later, I run into him. I'm Church of God preacher now. He said, I knew you were saved. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, a guy's a drug addict and alcoholic who quotes from the Satanic Bible playing around and goofing off with his friends. Is he a Christian? He said, oh, no, a Christian couldn't do that. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, you know, you told me I got saved when I was at your church. And between then and now, I did exactly what I just told you, and you said I couldn't have been saved. Now, what happened to me if I came backslide? You know, he didn't give me no answer. He turned and walked off. The truth of the matter was I sold out God, went after something in this world, and was chasing my own thoughts and what I wanted. And because of that, there was a way that seemed right unto man, but the end thereof was the ways of death. And I didn't want to die and go to hell. And that's why when I got back in church, somebody said, well, why'd you get saved? Because I didn't want to go to hell. I'm not saved because I want to be Church of God. I'm saved because I didn't want to burn in hell. I'm Pentecostal because I found it in the book and prayed for it. I wasn't raised that way, and I want everything God's got for me, and because of that, I want the ways of God, not my ways, not my thinking, not my thought, but His way, His truth, His life in me. Shut up. Revelation chapter 17, and I'm going to hurry. And there came one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit unto the wilderness, and I saw the woman sit upon the scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations of the filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of saints and the blood of martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. There are three main characters in the book of Revelation: the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Mystery Babylon. Notice what it said. She's drunk with the blood of saints. Church, you ever notice that we're hanging out with something that the devil don't even like? Huh? You read the book of Revelation, you're going to find the Antichrist, the false prophet, halfway through the tribulation, kill Mystery Babylon. They kill the whore. Somebody said, no, she didn't use that word. It's in the book. That's what they called her. They killed her. So what are you saying? Even the Antichrist, the false prophet, can't stand what we're putting up with. What are you talking about? Mystery Babylon is the ritualistic church that believes everybody loves everybody and everybody's going to go to heaven no matter who you are. They're now saying as long as your conscience is right, you can make it. They're telling us, oh, it doesn't matter who you are. There's a place in heaven for everybody. That is not what this book says, and that's what the world wants you to believe. The one world church, Mystery Babylon, is hanging around right here in the house of God. And it's time some of us realize, wait a minute, I need to get out of this. Even the devil don't like what I'm putting up with. Woo! Shh. Any of y'all ever heard of Fox Books of Martyr? Y'all ought to read that sometime. Man, there's some awesome stuff took place. But it also shows you what individuals might go through because they stand up for what's right. There's one lady in there was put to death because she wouldn't denounce her relationship with God and go back to ritualistic religion. When they arrested her because she actually believed God could bless her without her having to talk to somebody else. They took her in, sent 12 monks to talk to her. They asked her to kiss the wooden cross and pray over it and let God bless her. And she looked at them and she said, I don't serve a God of wood.
I serve a God that touches me in the midnight hour when I cry to him. And he's real in my soul. And right now he's telling me that I don't need to listen to what y'all got to say.
After 12 months of trying to get her to recant, they finally tell her, you're to be burned at stakes as a heretic. And she gets out there and they bring her a cloth and said, oh, if you'll just pray and believe, this cross can give you peace before you die. She said, I have a peace that you can't take away from me. And he said, but lady, you're going to die. If you'll do this, we'll even give your life back to you in this world. She said, I got a life on the other side better than anything you got on this side. And she died hollering about the God that could touch her, not giving up on what's in this world. Let me tell you something, church. Some of us have sold God out for the very little things of this world. But it's time we realize I got to get back to the God that's worth dying for. I got to get back to the God that will take me to an eternity with him. I got to get back to that place where I understand it is a narrow way. It is a narrow gate, but I want to go through it. I want to make it, and I want to walk in the presence, the power, the glory of Almighty God in my life. I'm tired of having funerals just because some doctor made a judgment. Come on, church. I said that like I wanted to say it. Where did we go? 30-something years ago, almost 40 years ago, they gave my mom 6 months to live. I didn't know no better. I didn't know you weren't supposed to challenge God. I just said, God, if you'll heal my mom, I'll preach. Oh, yeah, she was going to die in 6 months at best. 31 years later, she died. She was still cancer-free. Where did we go wrong, church? Where did we lose that thought that our God can do those things and start praying for it? Now somebody's got cancer, we automatically throw up our hands and quit. Amen. I got news for you, church. God is the same. His life is the same. His love is the same. And we in the church have got to get back to this book. And when we do, miracles will happen again in the house of God. I knew I'd get too far out for some of you. Some of you shouting a while ago going, oh, wait a minute, preacher. You done got out in that weird stuff over there. You in the twilight zone now and you talk about healing. No, I'm not. Sonny Warren, did God heal you? That's happened since I've been here, church. He's give his testimony. You know as well as I do, he had this cancerous tumor they couldn't take out because he couldn't live if they removed everywhere it was. And he got sick and they had to stop the treatment. When they went back to do the treatment, they found out it was gone. Why? Because we got a God that can do great things if we'll begin to believe in him again. In 2005, my wife had cancer. I lost it. I got mad at God. I don't mind telling you. I went down by the river and I throwed rocks in that water. If God bent the water, I'd have stoned him. I was bouncing rocks on that water and I was arguing with God about how much he owed me, and then suddenly I realized he didn't owe me nothing. I'm on an airplane headed to Hawaii and I'm back there having another pity party. The Lord spoke to me and said, it is not. Why is this going on? But how are you going to deal with it? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to keep crying? For some reason, I quit worrying. My wife did have to have the surgery, but she didn't have to take chemo because she was cancer-free when they got through. Come on, church. You say, well, preacher, that's great. It gets even better. I got to working with God, trusting God. She's having reconstructive surgery. She's going through that, and I end up in Romania halfway around the world. And a little old lady named Granny sticks her finger in my face and starts prophesying to me. I had to get her to go get the interpreter. That wasn't an easy thing to do. There was 20-some hundred people in church, and me and that interpreter don't want to speak English. She got in my face, and she said, the only thing I got was pacha. I understand that's peace. She runs and grabs that old boy, and she's dragging him by his ear back to me. I remember something like that because that lady was built about like a teacher I had in high school. Miss Birchfield, if you've ever read about Joe Namath, she was one of the ladies that helped him when he was in school, and her and her two sisters. They lived in Holt, taught at Holt. Miss Birchfield was about 4'11" when he, way you looked at her. She weighed close to 500 pounds. I remember one day I got in a fight down in the junior high building. I run the boys' restroom, shut the door on one of them commodes so she wouldn't come get me. Soon that door came open. She walked in there and she said, "Get out of here right now." I got down. She said, "Lean over." Now, church, she leaned over because she had a wooden paddle, and she didn't really care where she hit you with it. I leaned down. She grabbed my ear, and down that hall she went, and I was behind her going, "Oh, Lord, don't let me fall. I won't have an ear left." Glory. She had that thing locked in, buddy. She had gone. I went with her. I looked up. Here come Granny with that guy. She gets up there, and she spins him around. He looked at me and said, "She has a word for you." I said, "I figured that out." Halfway around the world, God delivers something to me that I was going to need very greatly. Because she says to me, "The one beside you will be okay. There'll be tragedy in your life this year, but the one beside you will be okay." God sent a little Romanian lady who knew nothing about me to give me a message. Because you see, in December that year, my mom, who lived in the house with us, died. That was a tragedy to my family. In March of that year, my wife was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. When the doctor came out, he said, "All I can say is somebody got in there before I did. I don't believe this is going to be cancer." And I looked out my mother-in-law and I said, "The little old lady in Romania told it to me the way it was going to happen. That's the God I serve, church. And it's time we get back to serving that God again and realizing He is somebody I can call on in the midnight hour, who can change tomorrow, who can make the next day something different. It's time we begin to believe again in the Word of God." Could you say amen? Glory. The Bible tells us in Luke, Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." Somebody said, "Well, what's that?" Oh, he finished it up. Hypocrisy. Hello? It's trying to live a life without ever really paying the price. I got to quit, but Matthew chapter 19, it should be up on the thing behind us. I'm just going to run through it. It's the story of the rich young ruler. He came to Christ and he said, "Master, what I got to do to have eternal life?" I'm paraphrasing it. They may come up behind me. Jesus said, "What about the commandments?" He said, "I've kept them from my youth." Now, church, I don't know about y'all. I couldn't make that statement. I broke them 10 a few times in my life. Hello? But he said, "I've kept them from my youth." Now, he's talking to Christ. If he was lying, Christ would have caught that. He said, "You have done that, but one thing thou lackest. Go sell everything you got, give it to the poor, take your cross and follow me." You know what he just said? "Let go of everything in your life and follow me. Sail out to me. Make me important. Make me the number one thing in your life. Not all that money you got. Not all the things." Come on, church. Nothing wrong with having money, but if it's more important to you than God, that money's become your God. The Bible said he went away sorrowful because he just couldn't see giving up all that. He wouldn't give up riches. But some of us are not willing to give up things in our life. It has nothing to do with money. But it's something that's keeping us from the presence and the power of God. And without it, we're not ever going to make it. Could you say amen? Church, we've got to get back to that place where we believe in the power and the grace of Almighty God. Good intentions is not going to help us. Our own thoughts and theology, not based on the scripture, is not going to help us. The wisest man ever lived, speaking about all the money he had. Let's face it, church. If you won 12 lotteries, you wouldn't get nowhere near what this guy had. And all he won was a relationship with God. And God trusted him so much, he made him a multi-billionaire. He sat on a throne made out of ivory overlaid with gold. He had a banquet hall with four tables. Each one of them would seat 1,000 men. They were solid gold. His curtains were made out of silver and gold strands woven together.
and they were 20 to 30 feet long. One of them would be worth thousands, maybe even millions of dollars. And we're sitting here worried about getting a lottery. They said, Solomon, what about your money? He said, vanity, vanity. It's all vanity. God, take it all from me if it becomes important to me, because I don't want to forget who you are and what you mean in my life. Church, so many times we get caught up in what's going on around us that we forget who God really is and where he belongs in our life. He's got to be the first thing we think of, or he's not going to exist. We'll find something else to follow. It's human nature to worship something. They've gone to islands where there was nobody ever been, and they had statues built, and they offered sacrifices to gods they'd never met and believed they were doing things for them, because it would happen. Things happen when they wanted them to. And we've got to where we're that way now. We're following things of this world that can't heal us, can't help us, it can't give us eternal life, and yet we're happy where we are because we're satisfied right now. But what's going to happen when tomorrow comes and eternity does take place? Where are we going to be? Stand with me all over the house. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. Father, I love you. God, I know your power and your grace and your glory is sufficient to carry us beyond everything in this world. There are people under the sound of my voice, God, who for whatever reason have headed down roads that are taking them away from you instead of to you. Their lives are disrupted and spoiled by the things of this world. They're blinded to your message by the God of this world. God, I believe you this morning. Let the anointing break the chains. Shatter their existence with your anointing right now. God, bring them to an altar, seeking your face.